Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Chris Vandyhoof from Penn Lincoln Strategies in studio with us. I have a bone to pick with your football team. In my fantasy draft, I went Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase to be my 1-2 combo to take me to Titletown, and it's killing me. Yeah, the Bengals have killed me this year.
You're not going to Titletown with Joe Burrow on your
team. He's going
to
come. He says he's come back for Thanksgiving.
He better not come back for Thanksgiving.
Why?
We need to put him on the shelf.
Just take the season and say it's done.
It's done. I mean, the guy tore his ligament off his toe.
So what?
Dislocated his toe. Broke his toe.
He's a football player.
Is he? I don't know. I say we trade him, get a bunch of draft picks, and right. Keep Joe Flacco as long as we can.
Wow. That's a lot. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So
it's good to see you last night.
Yeah, we were at the CBIA annual meeting, which was, listen, we poo-poo a lot in Hartford, and I know it's a statewide thing. That was a lot of people.
It was a ton. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. I've been to a bunch of them.
Is it all? Maybe it's the open bar?
That they closed after 45 minutes?
Well, then they opened it back up at the end. But anyway, it was like 1,000 people. And then Ryan Leaf spoke. And yeah, it was really good. And for me, like, I finally go to these. Because I can talk to anybody, but I'm not a big networker. Like, it's not my thing. And so to actually go and actually see people I knew was, that was like refreshing and new for me.
How many people, I'm terrible at judging this. How many people do you think were in that room? 500? 1,000?
They say it was 1,000, but I don't think it was.
Okay.
I would say probably between 500 and 600 when I was there.
Did you take the picture with the Ryan Leaf jersey on the mannequin?
No.
That they had a security guy sit next to so that you wouldn't touch it?
Supposedly the sneakers were like made specially by Nike, and he's like, if those get stolen, I'm going to be really mad. And the jersey was fake. The helmet and the shoes were original. The shirt was not OG. I mean, he's a great story, though. I mean, people, we've had him on the show. I mean, he obviously was a huge draft bust, went behind Peyton Manning and did not have a good career, ended up an addict in prison. And now he lives in Connecticut. He lives in Trumbull, and he's got a wife and two kids, and he's he's an impressive speaker as someone in recovery trying to motivate other people. So
that's great.
The special session, do you go hang out at the Capitol all day yesterday, or like?
I was there all day yesterday, and then I saw you, and then, you know, kind of paid attention from afar. They got out around midnight, 11:45, I guess. Got the four bills done that they wanted to, and then the Senate goes in today, I think, around 11 or 12.
Now, you're an equal opportunity lobbyist, but is it okay to talk about your party affiliation, or do you not want to talk about that?
We can talk about my party affiliation.
So as a Democrat, I mean, they own the Capitol right now. They do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out if the housing bill, because then, you know, I had Jason on, I had Lamont on about it, but we also had Vinny on and we had Steve Weir on, and, you know, we're getting both sides. And the Republicans say it's a bad bill. It's still too onerous on towns. And it's a sneaky way to take control away. And the Democrats say we made an ambitious, well-meaning bill better. I mean, what is it?
Well, it depends who do you want to believe.
Well, I want it to be good for the people of Connecticut. I mean, that's all I care about.
You know, CCM stood with the governor at the press conference a week or two ago and said that this is a bill that's much better than the one that they brought up during regular
Connecticut,
session.
Connecticut, blah, 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 of municipalities?
Yeah, Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they represent 169 towns and cities across the state. Presumably they ran this up the flagpole with their membership and agreed to sign off on it. And so, you know, if the representation of all of the towns at the Capitol is signing off on it and standing with the governor at the press conference announcing it, it seems to me that the towns and cities are probably okay with it.
So is it just that the Republicans then just they have to push back on everything the Democrats do now? It's the only way to stay in the game type thing? I mean, because they did get on board, you know, Candelora did get on board late reservations maybe with the $500 million fund to be added to the rainy day fund. So there was bipartisanship there.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's a little different, I think, than how things work in Washington, D.C. There is a part, I think, of being the minority party where you want to, you know, you need to throw the proverbial bomb on occasion to keep folks honest as it is. But, you know, by and large, I've never done the math on it, and it would be interesting to do. What percentage of bills that pass in a normal session, not a special session, but pass in a normal session are done with unanimous support? And I bet it's a lot, right? By and large, the Republicans and the Democrats don't spend all their time sniping at each other in state capitals.
So what, you know, you've been basically doing this job for how long?
24 years.
So you were there in 17. You've been there when the Republicans had a little more juice.
Yeah.
And what's the difference in the culture or the vibe of these sessions and special sessions with it? Like, are the Republicans sort of, are they downtrodden? What's the vibe?
Yeah, I don't think they're downtrodden. The Republicans have a role to play, right? I mean, you're right. There's basically a supermajority of Democrats in the state legislature. It's just a fact. And so when your caucus is so small in relationship to the size of the legislature, your role is to try to keep the majority party honest. And I think they do a good job of that. But I will also say that at the same time that Vinnie Candelora, the House Minority Leader, and Stephen Harding, the Senate Minority Leader, work really well across the aisle with the Speaker and the Senate President, the Senate leadership, because they have to, right? Like, they're representing their constituents too. And so Democrats can't just ignore them, because that is a large swath of people in the state that have elected those folks to go represent them. And so there are certainly moments like the housing bill where there's a 8-hour debate or whatever it wound up being, and they go back and forth. But at the end of the day, it isn't that messy, because they do spend time working together.
I want to get into, you know, Fazio, Stewart, Lamont, and I also want to get into this most recent election, which was illuminating because from far left progressives to moderate Democrats, there was a lot of winning on the Democratic side. I want to get your take on that stuff. So you hang out with us. We'll get some food with Tommy.
I'm buying today.
And I can't be bought. I mean, I guess if it's a chicken parm sandwich, maybe I could be bought. Chris Vandia from Penn Lincoln Strategies with us in studio. All right, thank you, Bob. We're back here with Chris Vandia from Penn Lincoln Strategies. We talked a little bit about the housing bill. I want to sort of broaden the scope across the state a little bit and then broaden it to national. We had Aaron Stewart on this morning. We played a soundbite from Ryan Fazio, obviously, you know, taking the housing bill and using it as a way to promote his campaign. And we had Governor Lamont on earlier as well. I mean, my sense is that no matter how good their campaign is, there's no beating Lamont, or is there a chance?
I don't know if there's no beating Lamont. He's certainly popular. He's incredibly well-funded, obviously. He doesn't have to worry about name recognition. You know, those are the big things out of the gate. But who knows? You know, I mean, a year's a long time in politics. It's forever. There's another session to go. And while the Connecticut budget right now is great, you know, they're announced another surplus, got $1 billion or whatever it is. You never know what's going to happen over the next 12 months. And Aaron Stewart and Ryan Fazio are really good candidates and really good at what they do. And so I think that this is going to be an interesting campaign to watch.
Do you think they're running? I mean, listen, there's been headwinds. I mean, between Terrence Chang and Pura, the first housing bill, you know, even though Diamandis wasn't his hire, still a lot of the criminality happened when he was in office. So it's not been a smooth year for Lamont necessarily, despite, you know, all of the surpluses and so on. But I sort of feel like they'll never admit it. But I mean, are Fazio and Stewart kind of just running for 2030, and whoever comes out on top has a leg up in that race?
You know, that's a question. Did you ask them that question?
Yeah, but they're like, I play to win. I'm trying to win. I mean, of course, they're not going to say, I want to do well and lose. I mean, they're not going to answer that question.
You know, I mean, listen, they're Republicans who are coming from parts of the state that are pretty blue, and that they've done a good job in representing those areas. Aaron, mayor of New Britain for how many terms?
Yeah, she's 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time, and New Britain's a pretty Democratic town. Ryan's down in the Greenwich area. I mean, that is, Fairfield County is as blue as it gets. So, you know, I think that they're coming at it from the right direction as a Republican in Connecticut. But the same token, the last presidential election, Donald Trump picked up a lot of votes in Connecticut. And so,
yeah, I think they're running for 2030. And I think that I think it's smart. I think that in 2030, it's going to be an awesome race. I wish I have no problem with Lamont, but I wish he didn't run because I wanted an open seat, because I think it would have been fun.
Yeah,
cover.
Open seats are fun to watch from the sidelines.
So I don't want to wait till 2030. I'm going to be even older. We're talking with Chris Vandia from Penn Lincoln Strategies here in Bryan & Company. So you got Zohran Mamdani wins in New York. You have Spamberger wins in Virginia. And you have Mikey Cheryl in Jersey, right? So, you know, sort of far left, left, and then in the middle. Like, where is the party right now? I mean, all of a sudden, we have this election, and every Democrat thinks the party is in great shape all of a sudden, and the Republicans are kind of a mess. And I don't think that's true. I think it's still really messy on the Democratic side because I just don't know what the party is.
Well, I think nationally, the whole thing is a mess. I think Republicans are a mess, too, because what are they independent of Donald Trump?
Right.
Democrats don't have an identity. Is it, you know, is it one of some version of those three? Maybe. But does some version of those three work when you get west of the Mississippi? I don't know. Right. And so nationally, and then you look at what happened in D.C. here with the senators that voted with the Republicans to end the shutdown. That's certainly a fracture in D.C. and within the Democratic caucuses and the Democratic circles. And so, but I also think it's a mess on the other side, right? What are Republicans but Donald Trump? They don't, there's not a certain thing that is independent of his orbit.
Yeah.
So I think that both parties are a mess.
Do you think that he'll be able, whether it's J.D. Vance or whomever, do you think Trump will be able to put his thumb on the scale enough in the next election to get another Republican there? Or is it truly, you think, going to be? Because I don't see anyone on the Democratic side, frankly, who can compete right now. I think the person who's going to be the next Democrat is not someone we're talking about. It's not going to be Newsom or Buttigieg or anyone like that.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think it's totally health dependent, right? You know, Donald Trump's not a young man, which right. is ironic because he ran on the fact that Joe Biden was an old man, but he's not a young man. So in 3 years, is he going to be still kicking around to put his finger on the scale? I'd say if he is, then the answer is yes. I mean, Donald Trump is caught on to something within the Republican Party, likes that I've never seen. I don't remember the last time it's something happened like this on either side. So certainly, and I would agree right now that I don't think we know who the front runner would be for the Democratic Party. I do think there's some talent. I think Newsom's talented. I think he's trying to find a way to get, you know, kind of under the skin of Donald Trump, but with his tweeting now, like Donald Trump tweets back right. at him, which obviously irritates him. And so, you know, but does that actually get you anywhere, or is that just people saying you're playing around with something that's super serious? Like, where's the seriousness
here? Well, I think it's going to take something more organic than Newsom. He's almost like too slick and good looking. You know what I mean? Like, there's something about him.
You kind of look like him.
I don't know about that.
You
I
do.
I like his
you got the good hair.
I like his hair a little better. and he's got a little more height, I think. But thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. You know, I always talk about where's your office?
Downtown, right across the street from the Capitol, 21 Oak Street.
So you don't ever walk over to Pratt Street, do you?
No.
It's too far.
If we were in New York City, that would be an easy walk. But in Hartford, might as well be on the moon.
So, I mean, you know, but if you go to a UConn game, which you do on occasion, will you go in town for a drink or will you just come in and come out? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, we'll go in. I'll go into town for a drink. One of the haunts around the, is it the People's Bank Arena now?
Yeah. The Peep. That's what I like to call it now. Yeah, I'm trying to get that to stick. That's what I'm trying to get.
I'll see what I can do to help there. of course. I mean, listen, when there's stuff going on downtown Hartford, as you saw last night, like, Hartford's going. I mean,
it's just not. Well, that's what I wanted to ask him because they have a distillery business and then they have the restaurant. And my instinct is what I want to ask him is that the distillery underwrites the restaurant. The restaurant's like a loss leader probably.
Yeah.
And I'm also curious on big nights in Hartford, how many slow nights does that compensate for? Like, does a UConn night make up for 2 weeks of nothing?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what and I'm a big fan of, you know, whether it's David Griggs or Runin. Like, I want Hartford to succeed. I'm not sure if it's a winning battle or not. I don't know if it's possible, but I don't, you know.
But what's the alternative then?
Well, you can't give up. You got to try. I understand right. that. But I don't know what formula will get, you know, lasting success. Like, you have Pratt Street. You have, you know, Urban Lodge, I think, is a really good pregame place to go.
That's great.
I like to take my son to Vaughn's when, like, the U.S. men's national soccer team is playing.
Watching soccer at Vaughn's is such a
good time. It's super fun. But I just worry about the sustainability and that UConn, they were supposed to have a UConn sports bar. That fell through. And I don't know. I mean, Hartford, like, you're there all the time. It's kind of a ghost town Monday through Friday, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's not enough going on Monday through Friday, I would think, to sustain something like a restaurant, which is a hard business when there is stuff going on. But the alternative is, I don't know. So we have to try. Hartford Flavor Company is great. Like, they do a really good job. I just, you know, is is downtown Hartford a destination for folks who live 15 minutes from downtown Hartford?
The answer is no. Although, like, we live 12 minutes from downtown. We like Fire by Forge, and we like the concept of it, so we want to support it. I make an effort. If I have a choice between going to West Hartford and Hartford, I'll go to Hartford because I want to give my money to Hartford. And I make that conscious choice, but I don't think enough people do that. And I don't know. I mean, is it – you think – more housing isn't the answer. I don't know. Do you think it's impossible? Like, is it, I mean, I know you say you got to keep trying, but do you think that if they build enough of these apartment buildings that eventually you get enough critical mass, they'll have to put in a supermarket, it'll work, or is it never going to work?
Were the corporations that are downtown, are they all back in the office 5 days a week?
No.
Right. I mean, so that's part of the problem, right? I mean, the state isn't in the office 5 days a
week. Which I think is one of the biggest things. If I was Fazio or Stewart, I'd get on the governor for collectively bargaining that away. I mean, yeah. To me, that's a joke.
Well, I mean, it made sense 5 years ago, right? Because we didn't know what the world was going to be. But now we're stuck in this thing where there's a lot of, that's thousands of people that were coming in and out of the city every day who are coming in and out of the city now twice a week.
Right.
I mean, that impacts the entire city at every turn. And so how do you, you know, you can tell, I guess, the Hartford and Travelers and other major corporations, you know, hey, can we get back to work? And maybe they say yes. But if we're not all doing it together, then where are we going?
You know, I was curious about this. I don't know how much on the air I should talk about it, but we're talking with Chris Vandyhoof from Penn Lincoln Strategies, a lobby firm in the Capitol. I want your take on this since you've been here for a while. Like when Ray was in his prime, you know, hanging out with Larson and Gene Shaheen, and it seems like everyone that was sort of emerging as power brokers, they hung out together, they drank together, they socialized. Like I'm not socializing with congressman, right? It's just not where I'm at in life, and it's not the way it is. And I feel like as that generation moves on and you're the next generation, is there another gen? And I don't know how, you know, I guess with you got a decent cohort with like Ritter and those guys. What's happening below you? Are there young people coming here to work in government or lobbying that are, you know, I know Cerulli like really works his sources and stuff like that, and he goes out with staffers and stuff like that, but I don't know if your generation is similar to what Ray and those guys had, and I don't know what's below you. Like, what's it like culturally?
That's a great question, and I hope that they are hanging out. I've had this conversation with other people who used to work in the Capitol who say, is there still a scene at, you know, the Officers Club or Max Downtown or whatever the restaurant is? And I say, yeah, you know, that's where I go for a drink. But
is it all old people?
Well, that's what I say. I say, well, they're people my age. And then I said, you know, and I don't know what the younger folks are doing. And I'm told that they're still doing the same stuff that we did. I'm just not invited to it, which I hope is true.
Right.
Because I hope that they're building a community who all work in the same spot. I will tell you that working in the Capitol, especially during session, you build relationships with people across party lines, across all different roles of the Capitol, because it's such an unusual job where you're spending 12, 14, 15.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money?
Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
15 hours a day in the same confines. All kind of dealing with the same stuff. And so you do build these relationships with people who are older than you, younger than you. And a lot of that leads to, hey, you want to go grab a drink, which is great. I just don't have eyes on what the younger people are doing, but they must be because they're doing something. I just don't know where they're doing.
Well, maybe, but I guess I'm wondering because whether it's social media or the dating apps or whatever, whether when you guys would do your work and then you'd all go somewhere, maybe they go in five different directions, right? Like, I feel like there's a possibility to splinter, or maybe they're not putting their roots down. Like, you met your wife here, you're raising your family here. Maybe they're two and done to go on and, you know, to DC, and they look at Hartford only as a stepping stone. Whereas, I don't know if it was a destination for you, but it ended up as a destination for you. You were at least open-minded enough to make it one. I don't think your wife is from this area either.
No, she's from Maryland. I met her at the Spigot.
Right. Nice. What time of night was it?
Acceptable time of night, all right?
Well, it's actually could be unacceptable on both ends, because if you're there too early, what are you doing?
That's also true. Yeah, I don't know if young folks are going to the Spigots of the world, right? And then also, you got to remember, too, 15, 20 years ago, Allen Street was a place that you would
go.
You said stepping stone, when you think of the Standing Stone. That was a great spot. Like,
totally.
All of those like bars, I don't even know if they're still open. I don't think so. That some of them are clubby kind of places, or they open.
I remember they
Utah
would shut
games.
Down Allen Street, right. And we would all pile in a car and go.
Yeah, it was great. And then even over by the train station, you had all those places. So I also just don't, are the younger folks going out of downtown? Are they going somewhere else to hang out? Are they going to West Hartford? Are they going to the rooftop place in Glastonbury? I just don't know where they are. I don't, you know, I'm too old.
Because it sounds like the heyday was a heyday and it's not a heyday anymore. But your point is a good one. Maybe just because you've moved on in life, you just don't see it because you're not around or you're not being
Everybody's,
asked to go.
Every heyday continues on for somebody else,
yeah,
right?
Like, right.
It's, you know, the good old days are just somebody else's days now.
Chris Vandio from Penn Lincoln Strategies, sticking with us for the rest of the hour. We'll talk a little bit more politics as well. I want to tell you really quickly, are you an ache and a pain guy, or are you relatively healthy? I know you're a golfer, but you got any joint pain or anything?
I have plantar fasciitis, which is the worst. So if you're about to do a plug for plantar fasciitis fix, I'm here for it.
All right, your time is 8:42. We're here with Chris Vandio from Penn Lincoln Strategies. I just got... it's so funny. We went to CBIA last night, their annual meeting at the convention center. I was a little bit stunned at how many people were there, and it was a lot of people. I mean, you probably have to shake hands at those things all the time, right? You go to that, but you don't – I mean, do you remember it being that crowded?
Most amount of people I've ever seen at that, and I've been to it every year for I don't know how long.
Yeah,
it's usually at the Marriott across the...
Yeah, they were too big.
Yeah, it's too big.
They had to move it up.
That's a good problem.
Christy Pantima, who he Hamilton themed it up, and he actually put on the outfit. I guess the Bushnell must have been pretty cooperative. They did a video with, I think, George III. I think it's the George III who's doing the Bushnell. And he had a whole speech. He did, first of all, he delivered it perfectly. It was very catered to Connecticut. You know, and he said, well, I hope the people of Connecticut are now free of tariffs and taxes. And then he stopped and he was like, oh, wait a minute, maybe not. It was really, really, it was actually the funniest part of it. But Chris is in traffic now, and he wants Mark Christopher to know that the might be an issue is an actual issue. It took him an hour to get from Durham to Hartford.
Oh, so wow.
You might want to wait before. Are you going in today?
I'm going to go in today. I'll stop back at home to put on
something decent.
Appropriate attire as opposed to the sweatshirt and jeans I'm wearing now. And then we'll head on up there and see what our friends in the Senate are up to.
So is there which chamber do you enjoy more?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on what I'm working on. Sometimes I dislike them both immensely, and sometimes I like them both a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not the case anymore, because when you get the Tommy Tuberville's of the world, the Senate's a different place than it was 50 years ago. But, you know, in Washington, you know, one's the people's house and one is the more deliberative body, if you will. Is that the case here? Or is it both the same, just one has a little bit of a better name to it?
Yeah, what a good question. I haven't thought about it. You know,
I'm supposed to ask good questions, so stop, you know.
Well, I've been waiting, so I'm glad we finally got there. Yeah, excuse me. You know, it's not the same as D.C. where, you know, it's first of all, Connecticut's unusual in that we have joint committee process. So A lot of states have a Senate committee for environment and a House committee for the environment. Connecticut has one committee for the environment with a Senate chair and a House chair on the same committee. So that requires the Senate and the House to work more sort of in concert with one another. It isn't that the House is doing one thing and then once they're done with it, they're going to send it to the Senate for their review. The Senate will have bills, the House will have bills, but at some point they've all kind of meshed together through the committee process. And so it doesn't work like it does in D.C. It's just, you know, the Senate has 36 people who represent more larger population of constituents, and the House has 151. And so, you know, the House can be chaotic just because there's so many people, where the Senate's a little more, you know, refined is the wrong word, but a little more streamlined in terms of how it works.
What in terms of the state, it's again, relatively small state, relatively quiet. It's not New York, obviously it's not California, but it's not even Massachusetts, right? I mean, it's just not. And so this issue, and you talk to all of them. I mean, I don't know how people like Jason Rojas have a family with kids, and he's got his job at Trinity, and he's a majority leader. Like, I don't know what that day must be like on average. Do you think it should be full-time? And if it were, would it attract better candidates or worse?
Yeah, I don't – that's a good question, because I think that it is full-time now.
Right.
Like, this is a full-time job for these folks. I don't care what party they're in or who they are. But it's
they're not compensated.
Job.
They couldn't do it without another job.
They are not compensated. They're compensated like it's a part-time job, right? Correct. And so they almost all of them have a job outside of the building. But because of the time constraints that being a state elected official has on you in the House or the Senate, there are only so many jobs that you can go have where they don't mind you being gone.
Lawyer, right?
Yep, lawyer.
Or have your own business.
Have your own business. You know, there's some teachers, because the session kind of can move in the afternoon. It doesn't need to move early in the morning. You know, the time space continuum that is the Connecticut legislative world isn't 9 to 5, 8 to 4 kind of thing. It is 11 to 7.
Should it be compensated full time so people could focus on it solely if they wanted to?
Yeah, I mean, the time they put in is full time. So yes, they should be compensated for full time work. And then maybe you open up the pool of candidates. That's not to suggest that the folks who are doing it aren't good, but I don't know of a lot of people clamoring out in the streets to go run for the state legislature, right?
Correct.
In the same token, that there's not a lot of people clamoring to run for anything. Why would, you know, being in political office right now isn't the most fun thing to be doing, I suspect.
Yeah, I have a theory on if Lamont wins another term, like people say he doesn't have.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Have, like, what is his legacy type thing?
What's your theory?
We're going to pause on that, and I'm going to give it to you in a couple minutes. No, we're going to take a break here. I got to talk about Michelotta Group, and then we'll get a quick update on traffic and weather. We continue with, of course, Chris Fandio from Penlink and Strategies here on Brian and Company. Got a couple minutes left. So what I think is we've done this darting across Connecticut, which you know about, which you're in West Hartford?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think we already did West Hartford. What was the name of the place in West Hartford, Joey? That little place, something,
Sally and Bob's?
Sally and Bob's.
Yeah,
that place. They were great.
They're the best.
They are the nicest people.
Nicest food's good.
Yeah.
The vibe is great.
It's tight in there, and they accommodated us. That was one of our first ones. But everywhere we go, especially the small towns, you know, we saw, maybe it was Meriden. I don't even know if they still had a volunteer, but they had to get rid of their volunteer fire department. Volunteerism is dying. I think it's maybe nationally, but it's definitely in Connecticut. And towns that rely on things like volunteer fire departments are really struggling. And unless like a mom or dad does it and the kids grow up with it, the people aren't gravitating toward it. And I feel like that there, if he's going to spend some money in our surplus, I think we should find a way. I know it's not volunteering if you're compensated, but some sort of incentivized system to get people to volunteer more. I just feel like that would be an awesome legacy, like almost like an AmeriCorps type crap for Connecticut, for young people, whether it's a tax break or some sort of benefit if their kids go to UConn or something. Like, I just feel like that would be cool. That's my thing.
Before we went to the break, you said you had a theory about—
That's not a theory. That's what I want.
Oh, that's what you want him to do. Yeah. I thought you had a theory.
No. But it was the wrong word.
It's a great idea because there is no incentive to volunteer unless you are— raised in a family where the parents push you towards volunteerism. Schools don't really encourage it much anymore that I'm aware of.
And we live in an increasingly, and I'm not above it, an increasingly self-interested, selfish culture, right? I mean, yeah. We spend a lot of time alone on our phones or on our things, and I see people, when there's a fight, this is another thing about your feed, I get a lot of fights in my feeds. like arena stadium fights. Yeah. You know, you see them everywhere. Like, don't ever talk back to somebody in San Francisco or Los Angeles.
You
might get killed.
Yeah.
And all everybody does in any of these instances is just put their phone on and record it. Nobody breaks it up.
Nobody helps.
Nobody helps.
Yeah.
And I'm not being some self-righteous old guy, you know, in the balcony screaming on the stage like the two old dudes in the Muppets. I'm just saying, like, that's disturbing to me that nobody thinks to get involved and save somebody from getting hurt.
Yeah, I can't watch those things, mostly because I don't like watching people get hurt, one. But two is because I'm watching somebody get hurt surrounded by a bunch of other people who aren't helping the person getting hurt.
It drives me crazy.
And it's incredibly frustrating.
And even like concerts, like again, my daughter, you go to a concert, everyone's like filming. Who's going to go back when you're in row 62 and rewatch your video?
It's like the filming of fireworks.
Although I have done that before.
Of course. I filmed a concert before, right? But, you know, but you do that, I guess, for your own posterity's sake.
So what are you doing with your 10-year-old, like, in terms of devices? Like, we lost, like, we really got thumped in my house. You're lucky your kids were still probably too young. But the pandemic really ruined it because we just were like, we threw our hands up. And we're like, I can't do anymore, and the kids won't go on 5 million hikes, and we're like, fine.
Yeah.
You can spend 6 hours on your phone, and then it got out. I mean, does like your 10-year-old have a phone?
Nope, no phones. He'll be 10 in January, by the way. Not quite 10 yet.
Okay, but, 9 and change.
9, and I'm sure he'd tell you the exact date and find a way to get 6-7 in there somewhere. But
so that's really
how— it's a thing. It's a thing. And I don't even mind it. I think it's funny. But none of that, all that aside— You know, we try to limit screen time, video games, television in general. No phone. We're not doing phones. We're going to hold off as long as we can because once they're in the phone world, they're never out of it. He's going to have a phone for the rest of his life. And so, you know, and we've seen, like, we all know that kids, especially preteens, teenagers who are on their phone, especially in social media, have higher instances of nervousness, anxiety, panic attacks. Bullying becomes a whole different thing. Bullying when we were kids was some kid picked on you in
the
school,
face. Yeah.
And then you had a fight and moved on.
Yep.
Not that that is good either, but
in some ways it was better. But
it moved on. It got over, right? Yep. And now somebody can ruin everything that you care about in one tweet, Instagram post, or whatever,
or do it every day,
and do it every day, and the whole school sees it, and it's really hard to stop. And so, I'm not in a hurry for my kids to be part of that world.
I regret not having a heart. Like, my wife and I didn't do a good job of, like, setting up a real philosophy and a set of parameters. But he knows the rules.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he can earn more screen time by doing good things, by volunteering to help around the house. See, maybe we are installing it. We don't even know it. So, yeah, he can earn more, you know, and he's not online on video games. Like, he plays, you know, Madden or whatever it is on a PlayStation, but he's not playing online. And so we're trying to limit that as much as possible. But at some point, you know, he is going to be 10 in a couple months. And before you know, he's going to be 13 and then 16, and then he's going to be in it.
I really like, for some reason, it's completely hypocritical, but if a kid's playing Madden over playing, like, Fortnite, I like it better. For some reason, I feel like it's better to play a sport game.
No Fortnite. We don't have Fortnite. Yeah. Only sports.
Nice.
Madden, FIFA, baseball.
FIFA. I like the...
You should come over. We'll have a little FIFA.
We should do that.
You, Jake, and I will look at the term in the basement.
That would be fun. Listen, we only have a couple minutes. I wanted to ask you, I know you work with Connecticut Food Share, and we had Jason Jakubowski on over a week ago, and... It's been intense for them. Mm. How is it? How have they been holding up? I mean, are they able to? Is it still? Has it fallen back since some of the SNAP stuff was paid out, or is it still?
Yeah, you know, I'm not involved in the day-to-day operations down there. I'll tell you that 2 weeks ago now, I guess 2.5 weeks ago now, when the governor called and said that they were going to start funding some of this money that was going away, you know, the Jason and his team and Jenny Hirsch's chief of staff are so incredibly good at what they do. And what they do, go back to the volunteering thing, it's not volunteering, but what they do is so good for people who need food, people who are in need in our communities.
They just know the supply chain, so if they have to ramp it up by 50, 60%, they can do it.
Yeah, and they have a whole network of organizations and food pantries and work with the grocery stores, and it's just this massive organization that people don't see behind the wall that works, moving food from warehouse to warehouse and then getting into the neighborhoods and getting money from the state and knowing exactly how to put that into action and utilizing those resources down to the last penny. So it's as good as it can be for folks who need the food. It's just really impressive stuff, and they do great work.
We got our NFL picks. We do it with Christine and Salt, 96.5 TIC FM,
yep.
Matt Sarois, as well as Mark Christopher. Let's see how you do against us this week, okay? The Jets, I have 11.5. It's up to 13.5, but I'll make it 11.5.
Jets. So this is against the spread?
Yep.
Okay.
Jets at New England.
New England covers spread.
Okay. Just say take the team, and I'll assume it's covering.
Yep.
Buffalo 5.5 at home against Tampa.
Buffalo.
Green Bay 7.5-point favorites at the Giants.
Giants.
Yeah. I think it's a good pick. You got Jameis Winston, baby.
Yeah, famous Jameis.
Detroit at Philly. Philly favored by 1.5.
Detroit.
Nice. Then you have KC 3.5-point favorites at Denver.
Denver.
That's a bad pick. Seattle at the LA Rams. Rams favored by 2.5.
Rams.
I think the Rams might be the best team in football.
I agree.
They are really good. All right, what's the deal today?
You gonna get to my Bengals Steelers?
Are you picking the Bengals?
Yes.
What's the spread on that
game? Oh, they're probably getting 5.5 or 6.
First of all, I go back to the guy with the bags under his eyes before Esiason, Kenny Anderson.
Yeah. Love Kenny Anderson.
I was a big Bengal fan in the early 80s for some reason, and I don't know why. Yeah, the Pitt by 5.5 at home.
Yeah, give me the Bengals, the battle of the uncles, Aaron Rodgers versus Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I dislike them both so much.
Who dislikes Joe Flacco?
He played for the Ravens. He beat the Patriots in a couple.
You can't dislike somebody because they're good.
I can dislike anybody for any reason I want. All right, we got like 20 seconds. Listen, it was great to have you in.
I always appreciate it.
You got to get the jeans. You going to put a jacket on too? A suit jacket?
A whole suit.
You going to shave the head?
Once a week on the head.
Okay.
I'll shave the face.
Yeah, you got a little 5 o'clock shadow on the head.
Yeah, I do. It's as good as it gets. Wish I had hair like you and Gavin Newsom.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Chris Vandyhoof from Penn Lincoln Strategies.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.